Welcome back once again. I am your host, Rafael Chaidez, the host of the Full Heel Podcast. Thanks a lot for joining me. Please hit that subscribe button for whatever you're listening on, YouTube, iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, or even on Instagram if you want to check out what I'm cooking, doing the keto thing, and trying out a bunch of new recipes and learning how to cook different stuff. I want to thank my guest today for joining me. I got Ryan in today. What's going on, Ryan?
What's going on? I forgot that I had a question I want to ask you all week, and I keep forgetting, so I'll ask you now in front of all your lovely listeners. Is how much fish can Bobby Fish fry if Bobby Fish could fry fish?
You going to get that shirt?
When I saw that shirt, it was tempting, man. It's so stupid, but so good.
Yeah. Their little gimmick is... As you know, corny and everything, but they're really good wrestlers, so
it's... I like them together.
Yeah, it works over. It works well with the crowd and then the wrestling style, really.
They have the old school, like, tough guy and the agile guy kind of, like, combined. It also reminds me of, like the Hart Foundation back in the day. But I digress.
So what have you been up to, Ryan?
Working like an idiot. I got Connor's birthday coming up on Wednesday, so I'm trying to pick up as many hours. So
nice, gotta make that cheddar.
That's it. Well, I gotta make it so I can spend it on him. Mm-hmm. You only turn 3 once, they say.
Yeah, I guess.
I guess.
I'm on the hunt for the turtles, so that's what I've been up to. Been hunting down turtles.
Did you check the sewers?
Yeah, I found Shredder, and I found Splinter on Friday.
Master Splinter.
Yeah, so for those people that don't know what I'm talking about, I collect action figures, and the NECA's released Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the figures from the movies that look very, very realistic. And they did Raphael, Michelangelo, Donatello, and Leonardo the first wave, and now they've done Splinter, Shredder, and 2 foot soldiers. I'm just missing the foot soldiers. Hopefully I can find them.
I told Kara that I was like, oh, you got to see the ref got like a Splinter and a Shredder now to go with his set. I'm like, I got to go down to Chicago for a day and just steal from him everything that he owns. He just backed the Brinks truck up.
Yeah, you're going to have to get a trunk.
Yeah, just start loading it up.
Yeah, there's a lot of shit in here.
I just got to know when no one's home. Just let me know. It's all good.
In like 5 hours.
Yeah, exactly.
You need some time. So yeah, we both wore Austin shirts.
Yeah. What?
But you did the Dr. Eggman mustache. Yeah, right? Is that what you're going for?
I went to clean everything. I just, everything's gone now, yeah.
We should let it grow out all crazy. At the end of the movie, he had it all crazy and everything.
Yeah, he started growing it up. Yeah, I was thinking about that. Someone's like, oh, you should grow it down and like twirl it. I'm like, I don't know if I can pull that look off. Like, yeah. I can barely pull this look off.
Yeah, barely.
Barely. I need to have a little more hair.
They were making fun of Mario the whole time because in this movie, Sonic can travel through different worlds through the rings. And he kept on not wanting to go to the mushroom world and saying how boring and dull it was, that he didn't want to go get stuck with a bunch of mushrooms.
That's funny.
Yeah, so they kept doing that. But at the end, Dr. Eggman gets thrown over there. And
really?
Yeah. And he has the mustache at the end, and he's trying to get back to Sonic.
So setting up the sequel.
Yeah, and then if you stay for after, they set it up even more. They have Tails show up through one of the rings.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and he's like, I can sense his energy levels. He's got to be here. And then, like, he shoots up in the air, and he, like, jets off, too, like Sonic's powers.
Okay. So, yeah, because I heard that they said that the rings are explained in the movie. But, like, in the video game, you just collect them. Like, you don't travel through worlds, right?
Yeah.
That's all you do is just collect rings, and that's it. Mm-hmm. But
I remember you did travel through, like, but I didn't remember, like...
Because it was like Mario with the coins, right? Like everything, you would have like a whole row of rings. You would just collect them all as you would run past them, but you wouldn't at the end of like a level. You would transport somewhere else, but I don't know.
It was more about the Chaos Emeralds. Even later on, the Chaos Emeralds are what you were trying to collect, and that was the point of the game, because that's what Eggman was after, the Chaos right. Emeralds. This one, Sonic wants to keep his rings because they help him travel through planet to planet, because they're trying to catch him because he's got crazy energy, crazy power. That's why he's able to run super fast.
Okay.
That's why they want him. So, yeah. It was a good movie. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I want to check it out. I don't think the kids would get into it, so I'll probably have to wait to see it. But
I think they'll like it. It's a kids movie.
I don't know. They when I showed them the trailer, they didn't seem too into it. Mm-hmm. But who knows? I'll plan to see something with them soon. But
forcing
we shall see.
Force them to watch it, bro.
Yeah, you will sit here and you will like this.
God damn it! I want to watch the Aladdin one. I have it on Disney Plus.
Oh, it's so good.
The animated one? No, not the animated one.
The new one, right? With yeah, Will Smith as Genie?
There we go, yeah.
Yeah, that's I like that one, but I'm a sucker for like those like live action mm-hmm. remakes.
Like, I like the Lion King
was badass.
Yeah, I like the Lion King. I like the rendition of it in the live action. Mm-hmm. The fucking lions look real as fuck.
They do, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah, so we're gonna preview NXT TakeOver Portland from last Sunday. But did you watch the fights yesterday or the boxing match at least? You said you watched it today, right?
Yeah, I watched the boxing, the heavyweight championship of the world fight this morning at work. Yeah. Watched Tyson Fury just absolutely pick apart Wilder, man. It was like I was telling you, like I thought that Wilder was going to lose. I thought Fury was going to pick it up, but not the way that he did. Mm-hmm. I didn't see it being a stoppage. I thought he would just like get in, get out, and pick up a decision victory. Like you're not expecting Deontay Wilder to get finished, right? I mean,
never happened.
No. I mean, going into the fight, I think they said it was like the second best record for a heavyweight title fight. It was because they were like 72-0-1 combined, or 0-2, sorry. And the other best record was like 75-0 combined. So like, this was like a big, big fight, and man, Fury just showed up. Like, and I think where he was 3 years ago, man, like on like you know over 400 pounds, suicidal, after just beating Klitschko and stuff like that. Like you'd never think that he would have the comeback that he's achieved in such a short time frame.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. And just to change up his style for this fight and to come up with a total different game plan was impressive too.
I think the best Deontay Wilder looked was when he did the walkout.
Yeah, I was making fun of him. I thought he looked like a gay knight, like from back in the day. It would look cool if he would have gotten rid of the glitter, you know.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. That's fair, but you know, I gotta believe Joshua watching that fight has to be pretty scared. I don't see Joshua beating that Tyson Fury.
Mm-mm.
Like.
No, and I think Wilder's probably gonna have to face Ruiz.
Yeah, I think that's the one that makes sense. But I mean, I think Deontay Wilder might want to stop talking about how he could finish Mike Tyson for a while.
In his prime, not just finish Mike Tyson, but in his prime.
Yeah. I think Mike Tyson right now, after watching Wilder last night, I think Mike Tyson now could probably give him a run for his money.
Mike still utilizes the fundamentals.
He does. Were you like, well, when you see Mike Tyson, like today, like not like today, but like in they show videos of him like walking into a store and someone's like, oh my God, Mike Tyson, like show me your stuff. And like, there he is, like, you know, 50 plus years old. Just
yeah.
Like his hand speed is still absolutely ridiculous. Like it's.
He's dipping and diving and shit.
Yeah. Like, I don't know, man. He's a different beast.
What?
Yeah, the only man that could stop him, Stone Cold.
Yeah, number one stunner. This MF spitting. So you want to get into it, Ryan, or what?
Yeah, we can start this sucker.
Cool. We've been doing watch-alongs, but today we're going to do a breakdown of NXT and just talk about it, let you know what we thought about last week's pay-per-view.
Still, these guys still, every event they put on, just manages to steal the show.
Yeah, how is this the best takeover since all, like, somehow fans managed to say it was the best takeover since the last. Well, like, sometimes they'll kind of just not flatline, but they kind of just table off, and they're good, but people won't talk about them. This one was one to talk about, and maybe it's because there was no other pay-per-view to compete with for over the weekend.
I think, too, you also had, like, six matches, four title fights, plus you had Finn Balor and Gargano, and then you had a woman's street fight. So it's like they packed a lot into that show. Like, they made sure that every match counted. There wasn't any filler.
Yeah, and I don't know how NXT does it, but they know how to pace their matches. It's like they keep me entertained the whole way through, and it doesn't seem like they're trying to get too much in. It seems like it's just the right amount.
It's like whenever we do like random matches or stuff like that, we talk about how you see like some guys back in like the 80s, early 90s, they used a lot of like the chin locks and the choke holds, and it was just like, you know, eating up time. Whereas here, it's like they use a really devastating move or something, you know, to like really give them that deserved little break. And it's something that, like, not to jump too far ahead, but that, like, the Finn Balor running across the tables on Gargano, like, that was amazing. And that's something you don't see every, it's, they keep it fresh. It's something you don't see every single event. Like WWE uses things over and over and over again to the point where it's just like, oh, okay, this again?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas NXT does keep it a little fresh.
Yeah, somehow it seems to be new, innovative, but they're doing a lot of a lot of stuff that's been done already, but they're doing it their own way almost.
Yeah.
And it seems
even when you can see the buildup, like, you know it's coming, it's still like, oh, come on, like, you're that anticipation.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes you get it right away, and then other times you don't get it right away, and you're just like waiting, like, oh, come on, like, that would have been so awesome. And then they tease you another time, and then they deliver it on like a third or fourth, and you're just like, so it's like you're waiting like Christmas morning, you're waiting for that, you're waiting, and then boom, you get it.
What do you think about the first match was Keith Lee versus Dominik Dojovic, or Dovakovic?
Djokovic?
Djokovic?
Djokovic, yeah. I think.
It was for the NXT North American Championship. This used to be a championship in Crockett Promotions. I forget where they ate it out from, but eventually when they were eating up a bunch of promotions, this is one of the titles that came along with it.
Yeah, and it just kind of like just laid dormant pretty much for the most part until they decided to break it out as giving like the NXT like a secondary title.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the UK became the UK. Like, that was the secondary one, but they're like, nah, we're kind of going to make it our...
Yeah, we're just going to keep that one, like, for NXT Europe kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, same thing with, like, the women's title. They just kind of just keep those ones overseas, which is cool. Gives the fans something over there, something to see every single week when they put their shows on. So, So, I think that it could be a little bit too much, but as long as they keep like the brands slightly separate, like TakeOvers North American and TakeOvers UK are separate, that's cool. Like, it's on overloaded titles. So,
And NXT does have the women's and men's UK and tag team UK, so they have their own UK brand. Makes a little sense that they have the North American one over here. And like I've been preaching, little side note for a little sidetrack, AEW and New Japan need to team up, and they need to bring that United States Championship over here and expose it to the United States crowd, solidify it as a United States Championship, solidify AEW with a secondary title that already has some lineage. It would really help out that show.
Yeah, they need to do something there because they still have just the one title, right? Or the two. They have the women's and the men's.
Mm-hmm. And then the tag.
Yeah, so they definitely need like that Intercontinental or that U.S. like what WWF would have on their shows. They definitely do need something just to, because it's a nice like mid-card title match or co-main title, if you depend on where you want to put it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you have champion Keith Lee versus Dominic. So Dominic is huge, but so is Keith Lee. Keith Lee reminds me of a bigger Daniel Cormier. No?
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
Body frame and everything.
I was trying to think when I was watching this, like, who he really reminds me of, and I think I was stuck on, I don't know if it's like agility, like he reminds me of like a larger D'Lo Brown from back in the day, like a much larger D'Lo Brown.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like I couldn't really put my finger on who I would say. But yeah, I think Daniel Cormier for body size, body type and athleticism was probably like the fairest comparison.
Yeah, Keith Lee, he seems like a video game character I would make. Super strong, but yet big. I just wouldn't make him fat, but like I want him to do all the crazy moves, but I want him to have the agility of a fucking cruiserweight. But and I want him to powerbomb you, though.
But you want him also to look like the, you know, like a real person, not just like everyone in wrestling is always just like, shredded, like just roided to the gills. Here, like this guy's like, nah, you guys hit the gym, I'm gonna go hit McDonald's.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's a perfect example. We had Scott Steiner that had eventually stopped using the Hurricanrana, and in this match, very early on, what kind of breaks up their initial face off of arm locks and pushing into each other off of the Irish whips and bumping into each other and trying to establish dominance. Keith Lee goes for fucking Hurricanrana and lands it beautifully.
Mm-hmm.
But Dominic, like right after, also shows that he can do the same shit in what is it? Senton splashes to the outside onto Keith Lee, but Keith Lee catches him. These two guys are big. Like Dominic is like 6'7".
Yeah, he's a big boy.
Like these guys are gigantic, doing cruiserweight shit, man. These guys are video game characters that I make. So now it's not unrealistic. So.
You see, and it scares me because these are the kind of guys that Vince loves to have on the main roster.
Mm.
But when I see these guys, like I can think of like if they pulled these guys up to the main roster, like they're just going to get destroyed. Like they're not going to get like Vince is not going to let them beat guys like the Fiend and like say the Undertaker or Chris. I had a whole list in my head. I'm drawing blanks now, but like Braun Strowman. Like, you know, he's not going to let guys get over those guys just yet. Mm-hmm. So these, like, I hope these guys stay in NXT and are able to continue to build what they're working on right now.
Yeah.
Because, like, if they get called to the main roster right now, I don't think that Vince would put them over the way they should.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. And Keith Lee, when he was brought into NXT with his Bask in the Glory, Bask in his Glory,
oh, yeah.
They moved Bobby Roode up.
Bobby Roode.
Yeah, with Glorious. Because it was a similar thing, and they kind of knew that they knew what they had on their hands. Well, NXT knew what they had on their hands. And then when we had the NXT versus the main roster thing, I heard a lot of rumors that Vince McMahon fell in love with Keith Lee on what he was able to do.
Well, like at War Games, at Survivor Series, at Royal Rumble, like the time when the eyes are really getting put on him, he shows up, like, and it's kind of funny because it sounds weird, but just that little chin strap makes him look, like, before when he just had, like, the clean-shaven look,
mm-hmm.
he looked really, really young.
Yeah.
Suddenly he comes out with, like, the goatee, the chin strap, and he looks like, he just looks 1,000 times better. He looks, like, more marketable. You saw him at Survivor Series with the guy, like, with Team SmackDown and Team Raw. Holding his own with like guys, you know, Seth Rollins, McIntyre, Strowman, like all of this. You saw him at the Royal Rumble going with that toe to toe with Brock Lesnar. Like he's able to show up and put on an eventful match or a little segment of a match. But I don't like. I think the fans would get over him, but I don't know if Vince would put him over the biggest stars right away. And I don't want to I don't want to see him get buried. And I don't want to see him end up like Lashley or Rusev where they're put into a garbage angle or they're just...
Lashley got beat by Ricochet the other day, didn't he?
Yeah.
It's just crazy. I could never think of that happening.
Well, they got to get Ricochet for that title, right? They gotta show that he can beat the big guy.
Everyone wants Lashley Lesnar and they're giving us Ricochet Lesnar.
Yeah.
There was an opportunity to do Lashley Lesnar. Like, nah.
Well, that goes to the Royal Rumble when Ricochet helped get rid of him, so it's like a little payback time.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like I'm afraid that that they're gonna pull some of these guys up after WrestleMania, and I don't want to see Keith Lee just get lost in the shuffle. I like where he is. I think that if they stick around with him in there in NXT, he could have some fun matches with Velveteen Dream, with Adam Cole, with Tommaso Ciampa, with Gargano, with Finn Balor. There's so many guys that he could have a good match with, and I hope that he gets the chance to have a solid year and a half to 2 year run. Let Raw and SmackDown do their thing, run its course, and then bring him up.
No,
But
I agree.
again, you know, he is 35, 36. So at the same time, it's like, gotta kind of strike when the iron's hot. You don't want to be bringing him up at 38, 39 and hoping for the best.
Well, it's about time that they start treating NXT like a main roster brand as a SmackDown or a Raw. Just let them do their thing, man. Let them
Just
do what they're doing.
let it be WWE's AEW kind of style. But just let it be like a smaller promotion under your banner
It's
and put a little bit more money into it if you have to. Like the audience size is perfect, but just put just a touch more money into certain things and you're fine.
your big time indie promotion. You know how indie promotions steal money from you, WWE? Let these guys be the indies, but you just promote them on a big fucking stage. You set up the stage, let them do their thing.
Well, especially when like with all the rumors that Shane is being tapped to take over for Vince. Let Triple H loves NXT. He's ha like he talks like glowingly about these guys. He wants to see these guys succeed. Let him have full reign for 15, 20 years and just let him have fun there.
I
And
am
then
the game.
and look at what he's done with NXT. Between him, Dusty Rhodes, I guess William Regal in some senses, he was kind of big at the very beginning, but these guys have like taken in what about since like about 5 to 7 years, they've blown this thing up.
No, yeah.
They went from a reality show to can't miss TV. Like that's wild.
To can we please switch Raw and NXT from different days so I can watch NXT on Monday, I can watch AEW on Wednesday, and I can skip Raw.
Well, AEW said that they want to go to Mondays.
Yeah.
Cody Rhodes said, "Hey, maybe we're going to go on." So there you go. You watch AEW on Monday, NXT on
Hey,
Wednesday.
I wouldn't mind it because Raw is 3 hours, so I'd watch AEW from 7 to 9, and then I'd tune over from 9 to 10 to watch the rest of Raw.
Oh yeah, there you go.
I wouldn't
Yeah,
mind
because they
doing
don't.
it.
Yeah, because they don't. Yeah, because I remember Raw used to be. They went from 9 to 11 to 8 to 11 to yeah, like now it's like 7 to 10 or whatever it is that they've. They keep on changing all their times for over, but
The 3 hours is long as fuck, though.
it's well, that's Eric Bischoff said kill WCW, trying to fill 3 hours and then do a secondary show.
Yeah. Then have a
But
secondary show forced on you.
yeah.
Again, AEW, if you're gonna do it, NXT would, or not NXT, New Japan would be a crazy fucking partner to have.
Yeah, there you go. That if they had the possibility to do like an invasion angle, like WWE tried and failed back, you know, 20 years ago. Here's your turn. Have New Japan invade AEW or have AEW invade New Japan. Yeah, that can lead to New Japan winning something and it could be as the right to be on North American television.
How
And
crazy would it be if AEW started invading New Japan because they already have the established stars with fucking
oh yeah, with
Kenny Omega, the
Kenny
Young Bucks, and that?
Omega,
Yeah.
yeah, you could definitely that would be cool, yeah, because then you could see like how back in the WWE's invasion, guys would jump ship depending on where they started out and stuff, yeah. But
They got something there. If they really wanna be a thorn in WWE's side, they could do something about it.
I think the smart thing for them to do if they want to do a second show is try to go head to head with SmackDown on Friday nights. I think
What about a Saturday show?
I don't think Saturday shows do as well as like when you get to college football season, when you get to certain playoff
Playoffs.
seasons. I think that Saturday. I think Saturday's too. And plus, if you want to do like a pay-per-view on a Sunday, you're leaving yourself really tight for Saturday, Sunday back to back. But We got to get some AW guys listening to us here. We could be making millions off this. Yeah. That's copyright. I copyrighted everything I just said.
But this match between Keith Lee and Dominic at times had me a little worried. The top rope spots.
I was about to say that. I forget what Dominic's finisher's called there, but that... I mean, it set the mood for the night with top rope finishers.
Mm-hmm.
But when he set Keith Lee up and he was looking wobbly, and I'm like, Keith Lee better lean towards the ring, because if he starts falling backwards, this is going to end up bad. Because you knew he could do it, but balancing on the top rope and trying to pick that big boy up, Dominic showed some strength there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there was a spot too. Where they go to the outside in between the two tables. Keith Lee sits Dominic down and then somehow gets reversed position and he gets sat down by Dominic. Dominic goes inside the ring and I forgot if it was on the top rope or if he ran or if he just jumped up and springboarded, but he senton splashed to the outside and hit Keith Lee. Like, for a big guy like that, jumping that far is crazy, getting that type of air.
It's almost like the Undertaker.
Yeah.
Like when the Undertaker wants to take, well, before when he wanted to take flight, he could go.
Oh, man. I remember recently he did a breakdown for the Shawn Michaels match with him in WrestleMania where he jumps to the outside and fucking.
That's exactly what I was thinking of with the cameraman wasn't in place.
Yeah, and he hits his fucking head on the floor.
That was one of the Usos, wasn't it? I think Jimmy or Jey Uso was the cameraman. I might be wrong, but I thought that...
I don't know. I was remembering when the Undertaker jumped out at Shawn Michaels and hit his head.
And he lands on his head.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, all that matters is he lands on his head.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow not crippled. Miracle. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, and to see these guys being able to do so much of that shit was crazy.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, that was like the thing for the night. Big moves nonstop and like just how?
Mm-hmm. They set the tone of the match. They got 20 minutes in for opening up. Keith Lee leaves as champion. He lands his, I think it's a sit-down powerbomb. That's his move.
Mm-hmm.
And he did the sit-down powerbomb. Didn't go for the cover. Picked him up from the floor again and then went for it a second time. And that's what got him the victory, if I remember right. I think that's what it was.
Got to put the big man away.
Yep. Puts Dominic down. And out. Fuck, people yelling outside.
Got a fight going on outside, or?
I don't know, usually. There was a guy drunk the other day, like at 4 in the morning when I was getting ready to go to work.
At least it wasn't 4 in the afternoon.
that probably would have been funnier.
Yeah, fair enough.
After I was drunk 4 in the afternoon. No, but it really set the pace for the night, and it was gonna have to make everyone step up, which I think progressively it got better.
I was gonna say, I think the only match that I would I would say every match was at least probably a 4, except for the next one. I would give probably 3.5 just because the finish, I was a little underwhelmed with the finish of the street fight. But I would say every match to me was like a 4 to 4.5 star, maybe a 5 in some cases, except for the street fight, I might say it was like 3.5.
Yeah, the street fight wasn't all that crazy. It was more of a, for me, I like Dakota Kai, and it's been more of a storyline with her and Tegan Nox about their leg injuries. So Tegan Nox was in the Mae Young Classic thing. And she fucked up her knee, and they had like a whole spectacle where they came out and Triple H carried her off.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah,
and they had like Triple H backstage, and he's like, "You're gonna come back. You're gonna come back better than ever. Yeah, don't worry about this. Just
Triple H. I tore both my quads. Yeah. If I can do it,
I tore both my quads.
Let me tell you about this stuff called HGH. We don't test for it. We tell people we do.
Yeah, but she fucked up her knees during that match, and she was projected to go far in that anyway. She didn't get to go. Dakota Kai has been one of my favorites, but her babyface gimmick hasn't really hit too well.
Yeah.
She's like a striker. She's good with kicks. Apparently, that's her thing. And she's just a babyface, like from New Zealand. That was her thing. She turned on Tegan Knox at, I forgot what takeover, but it's when they had the War Games match.
It was just takeover War Games. Mm-hmm.
So she was pissed. A little backstory. She was pissed because she was trying to be part of the War Games match, but they didn't pick her. They picked Mia Yim.
Mia Yim.
Yeah. And she got hurt and couldn't be part of it, so they threw Dakota Kai in. So when it was Dakota Kai's turn to come in, she was third from the team to come in and help her ladies. She turned around and big booted Tegan Knox in the face and started just fucking her up, and then she leaves. So it kind of left it at a 2-on-4 kind of match thing. So that continued the rivalry, or that started the rivalry with her and Tegan Knox. And it all stems because she didn't get picked for the team. She's like, yeah, now you want me when you guys needed me, but when I wanted to be part of it, you guys didn't pick me, so fuck you. Here you go. Take this, Tegan Knox.
Old school story starter that still works to this day.
Yeah. So it cultivated to this, the final match between them. We'll see, but it's a hardcore match.
It's the end of a chapter, at least. Mm-hmm. They can still go forward with the story.
Especially if one becomes champion and the other one's popular, moves up to challenge. We could definitely see it again. They're young. All these NXT people are super young. You got crazy careers ahead of them. Well, not so much Keith Lee, but, you know.
Yeah, some of those. I mean, Ciampa looks like he's 60.
Yeah.
There was a lot of good high spots in this match. It was entertaining for what it was. I wasn't expecting your hardcore matches and stuff like that, or from back in the Attitude Era. I wasn't expecting your Kurt Angle, Shane McMahon street fight from King of the Ring.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I was expecting, I don't know. I get that it's NXT and I get that it's women. So you can't go, you're not going to be blading. You're not going to have you're not going to have chair shots to the head because it's, like a CTE and stuff that's come up. But they told a good story. It was the best way to wrap up the chapter or the story, depending on where they're going to go forward. what's her name? Gonzalez.
Is she from? I thought she was from. I have no idea who she is.
She was from the Mae Young Classic.
Okay, so some big chick came out and
Raquel Gonzalez.
Raquel Gonzalez. And helped out Dakota Kai get the victory over Tegan Knox.
And it was the perfect way because you were kind of figuring okay, she's laying on the table with a chair on her neck.
Mm-hmm.
And homie's on the top rope. I mean,
she's they're not gonna kill her, Tegan.
You're watching. You're like, they're not gonna let this happen. But where are they gonna go? They're kind of spelling out interference in some way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
But
there was nothing crazy about this match. It was kind of just your standard hardcore match, and I think it really helped it be in place of the pay per view and not really stand out as a shitty match. I think the hardcore aspect really helped it out. Dakota Kai attacking her in the beginning, not letting her get into the ring.
What I really liked was the being at the New Zealand connection and all that stuff. I loved how they went up with a cricket bat as well.
Oh yeah, yeah.
They bring a baseball bat or a kendo stick.
Yeah,
they broke. I like that a lot more just because it's like, well, someone from New Zealand is not going to have a baseball bat. She's going to have a cricket bat.
Mm-hmm. I like how they did that because not a lot of people know how hard that bat should be.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, my God, if she hits her in any way, form, or shape, it's going to hurt.
If she slips up on just the littlest bit, it could be bad.
Yeah. I'm in a fraternity, I can tell you.
Yeah, that's right. But you had holes drilled through yours, right, for less wind resistance?
No, that would be savage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, brother, that would be savage.
Oh, God, that man, that would hurt.
Yeah.
But, no, I mean,
that's like a paddling.
I thought it was a good match, except, like I said, like that ending just fell for me. Like, it was spelling out that it was going to be interference of some way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, like, it felt lackluster. This was like, we need to wrap this up really quickly. It's going to look really crazy, but it's not going to be crazy.
Well, that's why I was kind of confused.
Thank you.
Right now, bacon?
Sour cherry.
Oh, God damn it. I totally lost where I was going.
Finish?
Oh, yeah, the finish. I stepped up on my words earlier because I'm like, oh, this is going to end the feud. And I'm like, well, it kind of doesn't really because of the finish. Someone came and interfered and pushed Tegan Nox off so they can somehow continue it if they want to.
They can, yeah, they could go forward with like a... I keep on wanting to send Raquel Pennington. They could do like a Raquel Gonzalez versus Nox, or they can do they can go Kai and Nox like in a cage of some kind. Like they have the ability to do a tag team match. Like they can build off of this going forward, or it could be just like have this girl be like a bodyguard or something, and like just keep on like maybe fucking with Nox in the next in the build up. Because I could see them doing something at TakeOver the night before Mania.
Mm-hmm.
And they have enough time to really build something up. They got 2 months to build something there. So, actually, about a month and a bit, actually. But yeah, like, they going forward, they got, if they just keep it, like, straightforward and just, like, have a one-on-one match, I think they can, maybe no interference at the finish, it might be a lot better. But we'll have to wait and see, I guess, what they're going to do.
Yeah. I like Dakota Kai. I liked her as a baby face. I like her even more now. But even she was kind of, she was selling the fact that she didn't know what was up with this girl attacking Tegan Nox. So maybe we'll get an explanation.
Yeah, I haven't seen NXT from this week, so I'm not sure.
If I'm going to watch it today. I haven't had time.
My plan for tonight was that, so.
Yeah. That's what I'm gonna do after. Well, I'm gonna make brownies today. I'm gonna make good ones. Then I'm not gonna fuck them up today.
Yeah, like good ones or keto.
Keto, but they should be just as good, just not fucked up, not too much almond flour.
Oh, okay. The other ones turn out dry.
It's like I said. I was. I don't know if I mentioned that. I didn't mention it here because I haven't podcasted with you. I don't know if I told you, but I was following a keto guy's recipes.
Right.
But he's like jacked. But so he's a meathead.
Oh, okay.
So he substituted protein in, and he's like, "Oh, if you don't have protein, just substitute more almond flour." So I saw how much almond flour he used, or how much protein he used, and I didn't use protein, so I substituted in almond flour. And then I looked at everyone else's recipes, and I was adding 26 more grams of flour than I should have been adding. And in baking, you can't do that.
No, you can't. You could have asked me. I could have told you that.
Yeah, Connor. What's going on? He can't hear me, right?
Yeah.
Hi, Connor.
Who is that?
Hi.
Okay, you're showing everyone that you're eating a cherry gummy.
I kind of want one now. But I had a bunch of gummies yesterday, so I'm good.
Hi.
Hi.
Okay, ready?
One. A bunch of my cheat day.
Two. Three. All right.
NASA? Was he wearing NASA pants?
Yeah. It's funny. He got these pajamas from somewhere. I just thought they were just like NASA.
Is that American, bro?
And then I saw everybody walking around wearing these like NASA t-shirts. I'm like, what the fuck is going on with NASA? Like, do I not know like what? Admittedly, I don't know what fashion is anymore or ever. But apparently, NASA is a stamp of approval for the cool kids. Mm. My kid's cool.
That's awesome.
But he'll never be stone cold swimming in the ring in a puddle of beer cool.
Yeah. Well, unless you show him all that and then buy him the shirts.
Well, my wife has to go on vacation sometime.
Yeah.
What?
What?
Yeah. That would be what she says when Connor says, "Mommy, guess what we did when you were away?"
What?
Should be hitting me with stunners. Never mind.
Yeah, so back to Dakota Kai and Tegan. Or my brownies. The brownies are going to be good. Brownies are going to be good. But yeah, no, I added too much flour.
Follow the straight recipe kind of deal?
I wrote down what he was saying, and then I saw his recipe. And then since I wasn't adding protein, I just added more flour, like he said, and that was the thing to do. And then I looked at a bunch of other people's recipes. Everything was the same except the amount of flour because, well, they had the base amount of flour, but they weren't adding protein.
I see what you mean. Yeah,
so I don't know if he misspoke or he just didn't, because he's like, if you don't add protein, just substitute more almond flour. So I'm like, oh, okay, so I'll just substitute the amount of flour that he has protein
in. And it's hard for me because, like, I could easily tell you, like, do this or that, the other thing, because I know baking and breads and all stuff very easy. Mm-hmm. But keto and different substitutions, like, there's different absorption rates. So the protein powder, if it has a higher absorption rate or a lower absorption rate, the amount of flour you substitute in could definitely alter all of that. So it's hard to say, like, if he does like 26, you might want to do like 13 or maybe 20. Like, you never know, right? Like, it's like you kind of got to add just a little bit and keep on mixing until you see like a good consistency kind of deal.
Yeah. And then people don't use stevia, and because stevia is super sweet for like a little bit of amounts. So finding the conversion rate took me a while, like from Swerve and stuff like that. So like Swerve used like 3/4 of a cup, but for like stevia, you use 3/4 of a tablespoon.
Right, right.
Because stevia is fucking super sweet.
So much sweeter, yeah.
So, but today they'll be made right. I'm gonna have some good brownies. It's gonna be awesome. Nice.
Right on.
Back to the match. Yeah. So, the hardcore aspect's really what made the match and the story. But
I wouldn't have minded if they did a nice little chair shot to the head and it maybe some bladed, but. Mm-hmm. I see where WWE might not want that, but yeah. I get it.
Pretty girls, they don't want that. They don't want scars.
Yeah. They don't want the head looking like Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah, blame me up, baby. Hey, Dakota Kai, blame me up, baby.
It was fun. Like I said, I think the finish for me is just the only thing that really took away from the match. I would say it was probably like a 4 match overall, but good storytelling. I get the weapons aspect, why they couldn't do certain things that I... But, the finish, I think if they had just gone with the... Take away the chair, have her on the table. Maybe she... You know, if she were to move off the table and Knox goes through the table and, Dakota Kai just kind of like just rolls over and just plops her arm on and just gets the 1, 2, 3.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, we'll have to see where the story goes going forward and what they're going to do with Gonzalez.
If people think we're being too critical, at least for me, I think that was better than usually what they put on the main. No, definitely what they put on the main roster besides a Charlotte versus Becky Lee match or like.
Yeah, if you're going to put like what was it? Who was it at? Naomi, right? She just came back, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I think she had a match recently that I watched, and I was just like, eh.
Yeah.
It was, once you get outside, of, like, your top performers, like, even Bayley. Bayley's matches are entertaining to an extent.
Yeah, they're not doing as much as they can with Bayley.
Yeah, and you see, NXT's women division is, I'd say, it's probably better overall than SmackDown and Raw, minus the star power, even though I think Rhea Ripley is like right on the verge of becoming the second biggest star in the women's division outside of Becky Lynch right now. And even Becky's stars starting to fade after like this year plus run that she's had of building up the man character, the Royal Rumble and all that stuff.
She's got no one to keep her hot, man.
There's no, yeah. And that's the thing. At least these all the girls in NXT put on ridiculous matches night in, night out. It's just eventually you're going to have a match that's just not what you are used to seeing. And you're just going to have a match where you're like, all right. But then, these two could have instead of a street fight, they could have a straight up match and it could tear the house down.
Mm-hmm.
So the stipulations that they put into the match is also dictate dictate how the match is going to go too. So like, I'm not crapping on these girls. I just think like street fight mentality, I'm used to a lot more brutality, and the finish I thought just was a little lackluster. Mm-hmm. But overall, like, I think these girls are amazing performers.
Well, especially due to the fact that we don't know why she came in and interfered and helped Dakota Kai out. Even Dakota Kai doesn't know why.
Right.
Well, I guess we did find out on Wednesday. I didn't watch it.
Unless there was something like from like the Mae Young Classic that, because I haven't seen that.
Mm-hmm.
So unless something happened there that I don't know about with Gonzalez.
I think they would have mentioned it though, no?
All I remember is that, who was it? Beth Phoenix said something like, that's Raquel Gonzalez. We saw her in the Mae Young Classic. That's all I remember them saying. So unless something happened where maybe she was eliminated by one of them, or I don't know, but I mean, we'll see going forward, I suppose.
Yeah.
But I think that these two, like I said, take away the street fight element, give them a, like, maybe if you want to do a cage match, it might be a little iffy, but I think they had to do a match straight up with no interference, a clean finish. I think it could be a lot better. And that's not crapping at all on those girls.
Yeah. And they're hot. They're both hot.
So hot. Want to touch the hiney. We can still quote Billy Madison, right? That's not Me Too or anything like that yet.
I don't know. If you don't want to get triggered, I wouldn't listen to yesterday's show. Finn Balor versus Johnny Gargano was the third match of the night, and possibly the match that stole the night. And it was just a regular match.
It's going to be hard for NXT to top that match by the end of the calendar year.
Mm-hmm. And it was a third match on a pay-per-view, Ryan. It wasn't even the startup match. It was the third fight.
It was unbelievable, this one. Like, this one set the pace for your women's fight, your tag team fight, your men's NXT fight. Like, this is like your little teaser, your appetizer. You're about to get ready for like for everything that's going to come your way, and they almost ruined half the card because it was so good.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go back and rewatch this fight as opposed to watching the rest of the cards at a couple of moments. So
it's like I think the guy sits back there, Triple H sits back there, sees what he got in the matches that he's put together, and then he like fucking, he's just there, just just mixing the order, putting them back and forth, like because the way they set up these matches to,
well, because what you need to set this up so that, I mean, it sucks for Rhea Ripley, because if they had done this match before Adam Cole's match, Adam Cole's match is forgotten completely.
Yeah,
if they put this match at the beginning of it. Or if they put this match at the beginning of the whole card, then the whole card has to be like, oh shit, how do we follow that? You got to put this at the right spot. And unfortunately for Rhea Ripley, they put her fight after this one. I think they could have switched these ones and had the tag team afterwards, but like these guys tore it down. Like, I, since Finn Balor came back and, you know, he turned on Ciampa and Gargano, and then he turned on, and then he just is the lone wolf, essentially, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, he's been phenomenal since he's been back to NXT.
Yeah, so his thing was, Gargano's been calling himself Johnny Takeover, when Finn Balor's kind of what put the NXT,
he put NXT on the map, maybe. Yeah,
when he came in with his demon gimmick and his entrance, like, just that alone got me to start watching NXT. I was like, I need to start watching it. This guy's crazy.
That was exactly what got me into it too. Him and Kevin Owens.
Yeah, Owens, him, Samoa Joe, him, Shinsuke.
Yeah,
I think it was him, Shinsuke. Or no, Samoa Joe. Yeah,
it was. For me, it was the Kevin Owens and him. Those two guys going. That was what really drew me in to NXT.
I think him and Shinsuke had a match right before that he left, or they were doing something, but he wasn't champion anymore. But they were still fucking with him there before he left.
Right.
But Yeah, no, his fucking gimmick was just crazy, and he doesn't even need it anymore. Especially if he's gonna wrestle like this, he's gonna play the heel like he's playing it. It's just it's well, awesome. I mean,
that's the thing with Finn. Like, he came out as regular Finn. People yep. loved it. He came out as the demon. Everyone loves it. He came out at one of the WrestleManias with like Pride, representing the Pride on his gear. Everyone loved it. He comes out as a heel. Everything that this guy does, people buy into. Like, he's so good at selling what he is trying to sell that he makes it work. He makes you believe in everything that he, and that goes to show his character.
WWE just doesn't know what to do with him. And I love how they reference that in their actual promos. Gargano's like, he's like, I want the Finn Balor from NXT. He's like, if you don't bring the Finn Balor from NXT, or you bring that SmackDown or Raw yeah. Finn Balor, you're going to have a bad night. And Finn Balor's like, you're going to wish you had the SmackDown or Raw Finn Balor.
I love that.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's I love the fact that they acknowledged it.
Like, it was like, a lot of people forget that Finn Balor was Universal Champion.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was number one, the Universal Champion. And then just the unfortunate injury just crushed his main roster push. And it since, what, September, October, it ended up being a blessing in disguise, because now he gets to go and be where he should be and competing with, and it's not a knock to him getting over, it's just who he works with. Like, the guys on the main roster, like, if he tried to have that match with the Braun Strowman for a title, it would never go anywhere. But if you put a title on one of those on Balor or Gargano and have them put it on a match, it'll blow the roof off of anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those guys, that match could have headlined a pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Like, and it would have been, it would be a 5-star Dave Meltzer couldn't shit on it kind of deal. You know what I mean? Like, it was that good.
And it's not like these guys have been wrestling each other all the time. Like, this feud started when Finn went down and attacked Gargano. This is what this feud is led
to. And that set Gargano out. Like, he, mm-hmm. so, like, Gargano's been out of action for a while. Like, you know, like, so it's not even like, yeah, like, it's not like it's a weekly mess around with the guy. Like, the mentality, like, get in there and cheap shot or something like that. Like, he was out of action with an injury caused by Finn.
Yeah, the 1917, like, I think it's called, the move.
1916,
where he does the DDT.
The hook DDT.
Yeah, but he did it onto the ramp, onto the metal, so.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why Gargano was injured. But, yeah, so they haven't even been wrestling in, you know, backstage or whatever, or through NXT. I know they do have the Performance Center, and they do get to set up matches and get some chemistry going, but this match was put together fucking awesome, perfectly.
Mm-hmm. It was.
I think this is probably the match I broke down the most. Let me bring up my notes real quick.
Yeah, for sure. It was high spot after high spot. Like we talked about earlier, where when they would take time, like, as a breather, how back in the day it used to be like, you know, a chin lock or a sleeper hold or stuff like that. Here, these guys are doing fucking ridiculous shit, and you're just like,
back and forth transitions.
Yeah.
Finn Balor's doing heel shit when he's got him locked up, while, like, with his legs, he starts doing push-ups and stuff like that.
That took me back to, like, watching, like the old school guys from, like, the 70s and 80s, you know, like, the old school heel, like,
mm-hmm.
all that kind of stuff. Like, even, like, the teasing, trying to do, like, 1916, like, oh, here, like, you're just with, and then, you know, he fights out of it, or he reverses it, and...
Yeah, each one of them trying to steal each other's moves, and each one of them stopping each one of them, like, hey, I know what you're trying to do. That's my move.
Yeah, yeah.
That's my move. That's my thing.
Like that, and like the double drop kick to the chest, back and forth. They kept on, one guy would try it and miss, one guy would hit it, then the other guy would hit it, then the other guy, like, it went back, like, they sold a phenomenal story in this one.
Yeah. I love it. Like we mentioned, they start off early headlocks, rolling up, but it's just transition. Each one of them showing what they can do, mm-hmm. Finn being the heel, and then they kind of move to Irish whips, drop kicks from corner to corner, each one displaying what they can do. Finn trying to hit his signature stuff, Gargano avoiding it, Gargano trying to hit his signature stuff. And from there, the fucking Gargano spears Finn on the apron.
Oh, yeah. That was ridiculous. That was a good one.
It's just little moves that were, I don't know, that were just done really well, like that shit right there. They're both on the apron, but Gargano is crazy enough to go for a spear and fall to the outside. It sold really well. Because I've seen it a bunch. Like, I've seen that move. I think Roman Reigns does it a lot, but seen it done by Gargano on Finn. Yeah. It's just different. I don't know.
Well, it worked with these guys because they have it's not like a giant guy crushing them. Like, it's two smaller guys that are doing this stuff, right? That helps it sell a lot better.
Yeah. And they're on the outside for a little bit. Gargano teases that he's going to do the kicks through the guardrail. But then then Finn comes in, throws him in, and he kind of just starts slowing it down again. Starts doing the headlocks. Little psychology.
Mm-hmm.
Little ring psychology. Let's slow this shit down. We've been giving him. Let's slow it down with the headlock. But not a long time. They just do it to, you know, bring it down a little bit. And it's the heel thing to do anyway. Heels aren't giving you their whole offense. Still good offense.
Yeah, he put on some good offense, and but it wasn't enough tactic to prevent the babyface from being able to fight back.
Mm-hmm.
And once they got outside, like, that's where, like, that's where it really started taking off. Like, Finn started hitting a lot of his big stuff, and Gargano started hitting a little bit of moves here and there. They teased the 1916 outside a couple times.
For both of them, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think even Gargano's pointing that he's going to do it, too.
Little payback for what had happened to him.
Yeah, and eventually Gargano does get the drop kick to Finn through the cage. Or
is it... Into the barricade.
Yeah, into the barricade.
He launched him into the barricade.
Mm-hmm. And I guess it's...
Well, that kind of set up, too. Like, it was another... I think it was a reversal that set up Gargano into the barricade. It was off the table. Finn was on the... He set him up on the table, and then he ran off the table and jumped to do his version of that dropkick to the chest.
Mm-hmm.
That launched Gargano off the table and into the barricade. That was, like...
That's a crazy-ass spot. That's some acrobatic shit right there.
That was ridiculous. Like, watching him run across the table like that was, like... You knew he was going to go for something where it was going to be a running move, but you didn't know what it was going to be. I thought he was going to maybe put him through the table. But god damn, when he kept running, that was amazing. And just delivered right through.
Sidetrack a little bit. Did you see Shinsuke get put on the piano by Braun on Friday?
No, I didn't.
He started bleeding from the back of his head. The piano didn't break.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. That there was a point in the main event that I'll mention when we get to there, but there was a moment where I thought that I thought Ciampa was, like, legitimately injured early on because of something similar. Mm-hmm. But I haven't seen anything outside of a little bit of Raw here this week.
Let's see. Anything else on this match, Ryan, before we get to the finish? On the match?
No, overall, like I said, this match stole the show. Ridiculous action start to finish. I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I'm not going to jump too far ahead. I'll let you take over. But yeah, like the finish, like the setup from that running through the two tables to do that that drop kick and leading into everything was... I mean, no pun intended. To me, that was a coup de grace.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no pun intended. That was, like, it really was.
So on the outside, they're both teasing the sling blades or the slingshots or whatever from Finn Balor.
Yeah.
Finn Balor hits two of them, And then they go back to the inside, and Finn teases. Well, he doesn't tease. He goes for the coup de grace. Johnny escapes from it. Finn rolls out of it like he usually does. Eventually, though, Finn does hit the coup de grace, and then he hits the 1916 style DDT. And that was just kind of the finish. Clean finish.
That's, yeah, 1, 2, 3 in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I loved the heel of grabbing his face and the referee trying to push him. He's getting out and he's like talking to him. I told you this is going to happen. You know, like all that, the heel shtick that they do. Like, I loved that old school heel tactic. Like, he's pushing, he's telling you, like, I told you, like to quote Omar from The Wire, you come at the king, you best not miss.
What? I've never seen The Wire, so I don't know what you're talking about. You're crazy, Ryan. You got a fucking dart in your neck, bro. You're crazy. In my opinion, this match stole the night.
It's stolen the year, and I don't know. Like, it's going to take something crazy to top that match. Because I think of the no cage, no ladder, just two guys straight up fight. Mm-hmm. Like, there was no gimmick. It was just two guys telling the story.
Yep.
So, like, that I think that's what really pushed it that much higher up for me.
And Finn leaves, and when he's leaving, he's like, whoever wants it can come and get it. Gargano, Matt Riddle, Ciampa.
I hope they go with Cole.
Mm-hmm.
I know that Cole beat him at, was it the TakeOver right before Royal Rumble? I don't remember. I'm not sure. I know that Adam Cole beat Finn Balor since he's come back. I don't remember when, but I think that having Adam Cole and him have another program together and I think give Finn the title and like let him run rough over everybody. Why not?
Take over NXT again? Bring the club after he wins the title?
You know what you can do is you can even have him bring him back the demon and have him take on, like, the Undisputed Era can be around the ring and he can take on Adam Cole one-on-one with the guys at the ringside.
Mm-hmm.
And now comes the demon. And the demon can just destroy them all. Make the demon more like the fiend, a bad guy demon kind of thing.
Everything turns red?
Yeah. There you go. Make it hard to see.
I like the demon idea back, but
no, I like heel Finn. He's doing a great job with this angle, and I hope that they don't destroy it. I hope they're able to go forward with it for a while, and I hope they put the gold on him again. I really do.
Yeah,
he deserves it.
Yep. Yep. I love Finn Balor, and I'm loving what he's doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
The next match after this was Rhea Ripley versus Bianca Belair. And it was a good match, but kind of coming into this match, you already knew was going to happen. It was already dangled in your face. The carrot was already dangled that they wanted Charlotte Flair versus Rhea Ripley at WrestleMania. Rhea Ripley's been calling out Charlotte saying, hey, challenge me for my title.
Yeah.
Becky's kind of tied up with... Who's she fucking with right now?
She just beat Asuka, and now she's on to...
Oh, Shayna. Shayna came in bitter in the back Shayna of the Basley. Neck.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Shayna.
Yeah, so she appeared...
That, and they're setting up that for Mania, pretty much. That's almost and on SmackDown, Bayley's taking on... Naomi. Well, Naomi's coming back.
Yeah.
So...
Who won the Rumble? For Charlotte, the women. Oh yeah.
Charlotte eliminated Shayna to win it. And that's why she's saying challenge me for your Rumble win.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, sorry, I'm high. Totally forgot about
it's all good.
We just mentioned that 100%.
How you started the segment.
Yeah. So I kind of
had that little fear. Like in the back of my head, I'm like, I hope because that they don't put the title on Bianca. just to put it on to Charlotte, because I know that it's been talked about that Triple H wants Charlotte and Ripley, with Ripley winning, to help build her character and her star, and Vince wants Charlotte versus Ripley with Charlotte winning so that she can get closer, because he does want her to surpass Rick's record of 16 world titles. And in my head, I'm like, I really hope that they don't just do a something stupid where they can keep Rhea hot by not having Charlotte beat her, but she has to lose the title to be like, you know, it's, you don't know really know what they're going to do, but the fact that at the end of the day, it keeps on being talked about Charlotte and Ripley, that you knew that Bianca was not going to win this one.
Yeah.
You just knew, like, one way or another, they have not talked anything about, like, even when the three of them were in the ring together, Bianca was the one. It was just like, you know, hand in the face, let the women talk, girl. Like, oh, I mean, like, they kind of talked down to her a little bit more and that kind of stuff. Like, so, yeah, it was a little, they did a good job in the match, but when you knew who was going to win, it kind of takes away.
Yeah, it definitely takes away. And it was more of like the athletic Bianca Belair versus the strong and ruthless Rhea Ripley. That was the story of the match. And the story of the match is Rhea Ripley wants to face Charlotte at WrestleMania. Yeah. So, like, that takes a lot from the match. That kind of does a disservice to Bianca Belair. She's a great performer. They had a good match. But when you put that in front of the match, it kind of shits on it from the get-go.
Exactly.
And you have Rhea Ripley hitting her finisher when Belair was going up to the top rope.
You know, and it was funny, too, because, yeah, like, they were teasing, like, that little top rope angle. And it was reversed and then reversed again. And then it was when Ripley reached up. I thought they were kind of trying to do like a low blow.
Yeah.
I thought she was trying to give her like a little shot to the female region.
You thought she was trying to feel her up? Trying to get her all hot and bothered?
You know, like maybe confuse her a little bit. Like, what the hell's going on here? Yeah. You know, like a Mickey James back in the day.
She flicking my bean? What's going on?
Yeah. But so like when I saw the hand go up, I'm like, what's this? And then, yeah, of course, then she grabs her hand and finishes her up with the riptide and whatnot. But it, like I said, honestly, this match had potential to be really good. I think when you knew going in who the winner had to be, and the fact that they had to follow Finn and Gargano, that's too much. That hurts this match so much, and it's nothing against, like we said about the last match, like nothing against these girls. It's just they were just put in a bad position.
Yeah, because this is a way, like, this is a better match than main roster girls are putting on.
Yeah, and Bianca Belair, like at the Rumble, the way she had they had her destroying girls.
Yeah,
and like she set the record that Shayna Baszler later tied in that same Rumble, right? So so it's not like they're building her to be like an unstoppable force, but then they also say, hey, in this title match, it's basically Ripley versus Bianca with Ripley getting ready to face Charlotte. So yeah. What's the point of having this match almost on the card? You know what I mean? Like, make it a tag team match. Make it like Charlotte and Ripley versus Bianca and somebody else. Naomi or so. You know, something, just if you want, if you really want to do it, do something like that.
Yeah, because but it does do a disservice to
there was just no like and the action was good, but it was hard to stay focused on it overall.
Yeah. But Agreed. but yeah, at the end of so Rhea Ripley picks up the win, defends her title, and then Charlotte Flair comes out and hits her from behind again. When they have this carrot dangled in front of you from the beginning of the match, it takes away from the match.
Yep.
And then it happened. Exactly. Like, we knew it was going to happen. We wanted it to happen. But don't put a strong contender in there like Bianca Belair if she's not going to.
Exactly.
She's not going to be able to do anything with it. It's like, hey, we're giving you a title shot, but you're not going to win, and there's no hope. Like, even if the fans get behind you, it doesn't matter because we're setting up this match.
The best thing that they could have done was a cheap finish. Like, maybe Charlotte comes in earlier, and there's, like, like, I don't know, like a chair shot or a title shot to the head. I don't know, just something that the referee doesn't see. Just so Charlotte purposely distracts it to let Bianca lose so that Charlotte can get Ripley. Mm-hmm. You know, there's ways around doing it. But yeah, it does hurt. I don't think it hurts Bianca's star power. I think she's still going to get over. I think it just hurts her by putting her in an angle for a month that was pointless.
Yeah.
You could have done something else with her. You could have had, you could have done so much more. Instead of giving her the title, give her something different. Give her, you could have had her versus Shayna. Winner gets Becky.
Yeah.
You could have done that. Because if you know that it's going to be Charlotte and that, like, if you take away the if you had moved both Shayna and Bianca to the main roster, and even if it's in a small time frame, and you're going to move one of them back down, say, listen, one of you two is going to move up to the main roster and challenge Becky. The other one's going to stay in NXT. There's your match. Like, you could have done something like that, and it would have you could have had both of them attack Becky throughout the month leading into this match. But I mean, it is what it is. They went with what they went with. Just kind of sucks that you had a meaningless month of build up for something.
Belair deserves better.
She does. Belair. Although it was funny. Charlotte, she's leaving the ring. She's getting booed. like full heel. And my wife had come out just in time for that part to happen. She goes, "Oh my god, those people are so mean." I'm like, "What are you talking about?" They're like, "How are they just booing her? Like, she's a human." I'm like, "No, that's good.
She's a human."
I go, "No, that's good. Like, she wants to get booed."
Yeah.
"What do you mean she wants to get booed?" I'm like, "That means she's over."
Yeah.
"What do you mean she's over?" I'm like, "Oh god."
She's over what? Like, she's over like the whole situation.
Yeah. I'm trying to say, like, listen, she's a heel. She's the bad person.
Yeah.
The more she gets booed, that means the more money's going into her pocket. So the more that people hate her, the better of a job she's doing.
How can they just boo her? She wants to get booed. That's her character.
Yeah.
She's playing the role.
Yeah, that's it. It's like when you watch the James Bond movie. You want to hate the bad guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm excited for that WrestleMania match. Vince wants Charlotte to win. Hunter wants Ripley to win. So it's going to be the two Rams headbutting each other to see who wins out, I guess.
Charlotte needs to realize that putting Rhea Ripley is the right thing to do. Not only for younger talent, but for the brand extension, for WWE, for the whole company as a whole.
You know what? Have Ripley beat her once or twice. And then if they really want to keep Charlotte in NXT, put her over in 2 months' time or something.
Mm-hmm.
But Ripley can't lose at Mania. The NXT needs Ripley to get at least one big, big win over Charlotte before they take the belt off her.
Yeah. I wouldn't see it a problem if Charlotte lost and then just stayed on the main roster.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, I mean, if Charlotte's going to beat Rhea, then they have to do a rematch, and then they have to give the title, I think, back to Ripley, and then have Ripley defend it in the rubber match.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that you're going to have Charlotte off main roster for 3 to 6 months. Can they really afford that? I feel like they need Charlotte down up on the main roster a lot more than they need Ripley to get over. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I think Ripley's over in NXT already. Why put that fire up now?
Yeah.
Like, Charlotte can come back. Charlotte can go back to the main roster, and they could set something up with, like, you went down to NXT. You took a step back, and you lost. Like, you have, like, that's a huge angle that they could build with, that could have her with Naomi, Bayley, Shayna, or Becky, whoever walks out of Mania with the respective titles. She can go back and it's like, listen, you may have won the Rumble, but you got beat at NXT. Yeah. They're lower than us.
We gotta stop treating NXT like a feeder brand, because I even think about it like that too. Mm-hmm. Because of how they've programmed me to think about it. It's like, well, the main roster is struggling with the female roster, but the female roster on NXT is doing great. Why don't we bring some of them up? Why are we ruining that chemistry that they have together, that they've built together?
Yeah, exactly.
And then you throw them into the main roster, and then that chemistry's not there because now it's different people, different angles, and different wrestling.
Right.
Because they changed the wrestling up. They can't do the same things anymore. That's no matter what the storyline is, their wrestling is what's getting them over. There's a story being told in the ring as well as the outside. And we might not like the outside of the ring, but the inside is definitely winning us over to a certain extent. And the main roster is not doing that. They're trying to get us over with story alone and then give us bits and pieces of wrestling. Superman punch here and there, a spear, and a win.
Yeah. And that's the thing, too, going into it with Shayna and Becky that I don't like is I think Shayna can be a great champion. And I don't know, like, everything you've worked at with Becky, I don't want to see Shayna just, like, pops up and within one program is the new champion. That's what they did with Ronda Rousey. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was garbage. I feel like they need to really... I feel like they need to build these girls. If they're going to bring them to the main roster, build them up with a couple other storylines before you give them a title shot. Don't just have Shayna be this dominant NXT champion, be phenomenal in the Rumble, and now, boom, she gets a title shot. Because there's girls that have been on the main roster that you could argue deserve the shot more, and you could give Shayna a little bit more time in the light,
a little bit more seasoning.
Yeah, like let the fans get to know her a little bit more outside of NXT. Like, let a lot of fans don't necessarily watch NXT.
Mm-hmm.
So let them see her outside of the Rumble and outside of like two Raws or something like that.
She does have friends, and there are tag team championships.
Yeah, there you go. And the WWE and women's tag team division is not being utilized the right way. You have the
I don't even know who the champions are. I think it's the Kabuki Warriors.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Okay. When was the last time they fucking defended them or fought together? But to be fair, I think
TLC maybe.
I think Kairi Sane is injured. I think she had a concussion.
She wasn't in the Rumble, I don't think. And if she was, I don't remember.
She had a concussion.
Yeah. But yeah, we'll see. We will see.
All right, let's move on from that match.
Yeah.
Next. And
now we can talk about how much fish can Bobby Fish fry if Bobby Fry could fry fish.
So we have the Broserweights. So we have the King of All Bros, Matt Riddle, and the Bruiserweight, Pete Dunne, for those of you guys that are wondering why the weird name. It's a combination of the Bruiserweight and the Bro.
Yeah. The original bro.
Yeah, the original bro. And they're taking on the Undisputed Era, the champions, Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly. And the Broserweights are getting a title shot because they won the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic, baby.
I was hoping you were going to do the voice.
So they have the championship with the Dusty Rhodes boot at the bottom of the trophy thing. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And, The NXT, they just do everything right. NXT just knows how to do tag team wrestling. I don't know how Pete Dunne and Matt Riddle know how to vibe so well and combine so much of their movesets that they do all the time into their repertoire right away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right from the beginning of the Dusty Rhodes Classic, they just gelled. Like, I don't know if maybe, like, if they were given a heads up, like, hey, we're going to put you guys together, and they just went off and just did their thing or what, but since day one, they've been entertaining as hell.
I wonder if they're real, to me, it seems they're probably, like, real friends, but, like, at least they started to be, they started to form a friendship backstage. Mm-hmm. Like, they're cool with each other. And it's kind of showing, even in their promos, it seems kind of weird, but weird in a funny, entertaining way, where Matt Riddle is the bro trying to, you know, be funny, and you have Pete Dunne's super serious, doesn't want to open up at all, and just like, yeah, whatever.
It reminds me a lot of Rock and Sock.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I was like, that's like Mick Foley and
And The Rock, yeah, and, like how Mick was Mick was serious, but like that Rock, This Is Your Life segment. That's what I see every time The Rock, every time Matt Riddle comes out and he's doing something stupid like the Bobby Fish thing. I see Mick Foley bringing out the clown and the teacher and the girlfriend, mm-hmm. and then Pete Dunne just sitting there, his cold face, just getting ready to kick ass. I see The Rock like kicking each and every one of them out of the ring one by one by one by one. I love the fact that these guys at least have like they have similar gear too.
Yeah,
like they're doing a good job of getting these guys over together.
I don't know if their gimmick would work if they weren't such great wrestlers. Like the Broserweights thing.
Yeah.
If they were just funny, it's just they're such good wrestlers that puts it over so well. You can take the comedy aspect because. They're serious wrestlers.
They both have great gimmicks that are so polar opposite.
Mm-hmm.
And their nicknames both gel. And they, like you said, they gel. Their moveset gels. Everything works like perfect between them. Yeah, like if they were missing one aspect of that, I don't think it would work out as well as it is.
Yeah, it's like a perfect combination for those guys.
Mm-hmm.
It's really weird. But I wonder what Matt Riddle's thinking, though, because he's fucking putting his career in jeopardy with the whole Goldberg and Brock Lesnar thing.
You know what's funny is I was thinking about that, too. But I feel like with them putting this title on him, it kind of shows that he's going to be. Like, I feel like there was something set or done.
Spoiler alert over here.
I feel like with the moves that they've made, giving them the Dusty Rhodes, giving them the tag team, giving them the title shot, giving them the title. I feel like they are kind of saying, like, listen, like, we're going to go forward with you. Just smarten up a bit.
Yeah, I hope they give him a chance. But Matt Riddle's kind of a guy that's like, fuck your chance. I'm doing what I want to do.
Yeah.
Maybe AEW's in his future. Who knows?
Well, I was reading something about like even like their drug testing. Like Triple H was like, I guess backstage or something. Oh, that's what it was. Like Pete, was it Matt Riddle and Pete Dunne snuck on his plane to get to Portland? And Triple H had joked about how his plane was, his private jet was so smoky and he couldn't figure out why.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because they finally found out that Matt Riddle and Pete Dunne, who I guess, I didn't realize that Pete Dunne was a big smoker. But I guess both of them just.
Maybe that's why they're buds.
Love the gunge.
Maybe that's why they're buds.
Maybe that's it. Maybe that's the change from the Broserweights to the buds.
Yeah, to the smoke. I don't know.
Smoke them if you got them.
Yeah, I don't know. I got nothing. I had a brain fart. I tried to come up with something on the fly. Nothing.
Nothing.
No. Awesome match. Matt Great Riddle match. And Pete Dunne pick up the victory, pick up the belts. I forgot how it ended.
It started off with the Pete Dunne hit Matt Riddle outside the ring. Like Matt Riddle's on the apron, he got knocked off the apron. Then Matt Riddle accidentally hit Pete Dunne, and it looked like maybe like they were just gonna, like they were just miscommunicating or something. And then it was a double enziguri, and then they pinned Fish. But they were kind of teasing like miscommunication on both those guys was going to cause them to lose, but they ended up recalculating it and back on track. And that, yeah, double enziguri to they. I think they knocked O'Reilly out of the ring and then they pinned Fish.
Okay.
But there was a lot of good like double team action throughout this entire match.
Yeah, that's why I couldn't remember what double team move sequence they used because they were using a lot of knees to like kicks. Where one would kick one in the back and like the other guy would kick him in the front or like to the head.
Yeah.
Like it was just a lot of that stuff.
Or well, like they did a lot of that and they also did a lot of like, they did the double enziguri a couple times throughout the match before the finish.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, like it, It was a good match. Like at one point, it looked like they were just gonna like steamroll through the Undisputed Era. And then it looked like okay, and then maybe they're gonna keep the belts on them. But they were also kind of teasing backstage, like with Roderick Strong, that such a big night for the Era, that you know both their titles are on the line. He just lost his title. Mm-hmm. Like they don't want to end up with no titles to finish the night. So what was gonna happen? And then. Yeah, then like yeah, the miscommunication or something with the and then just double team finish on Fish and got the pin.
Yep. Yep. So that takes two titles, or I guess three if you count the tag titles as two.
No, that's one. That's one.
Yeah. So you take all the titles except the main event one now, which the main event one will be defended after this one, but the Undisputed has lost almost all their titles in a matter of months, but they were dominating the whole.
But they had yeah. They after they who was it? I think with the tag team was the last ones that they got, or was the North American last one they got? But after yeah, they got them like last summer, and they've had them for a solid 6 month run as all everyone having the title.
Which I think was a smart move. It kind of let everyone else's storylines carry on behind them. Mm-hmm. And they were able to
and have it also the belts. It also kept people wondering like are they going to put these guys into the main roster?
Yeah.
Or are they going to leave them in NXT because like how strong they are? You didn't really know what was going to happen back in September when AEW launched. But hey, it worked out well. They had and there's still enough of an angle that you can have these guys have another fight. That these guys can go back and do it again.
Yeah. There's been a lot of shenanigans. So
yeah,
we're going to have it go on again. The match after this was the main event for the NXT Championship. Not even Heavyweight Championship. They took that off. Just the NXT Championship. Adam Cole, baby. Champion taking on Tommaso Ciampa trying to get back Goldie. Ciampa never officially lost Goldie because of the neck injury. He had to drop it in a very emotional NXT thing.
No, like yeah, and I mean neck injuries; those are career enders, you know. Like Stone Cold ended up losing his career eventually because of a neck injury. Edge eventually lost his. Mm-hmm. You never like it can be. You can have successful surgery, but you could also like he. Ciampa's lucky that he has the career right now. You know what I mean? Like just because you have a successful surgery doesn't mean you get your career back.
Yeah,
and seeing him jump off the cage at War Games. Kind of makes you think like, okay, he should be fine for at least a few years.
Yeah.
So.
I've been watching Ciampa since the Cruiserweight Classic, maybe a little bit before then because I was watching NXT.
Was that with the DIY days?
Yeah, it just had started, just barely it started, and they went into the Cruiserweight Classic where they had just had a couple matches. Maybe in the Dusty Road. No, they went into the Dusty Roads and won it. And won it, I think. But they had a couple matches. Him and Johnny Gargano as a tag team. They go into the Mae Young or not Mae Young Classic into the Cruiserweight Classic, and they have to face each other, and they have a fantastic match.
Yeah.
And Gargano beats Ciampa, and Ciampa at the end of the match is sitting in the end of the in the middle of the ring like fuck. And then Gargano goes sits by him, and you're like, what's going to happen? And then like he kind of just like rubs his head, and then it kind of leads into them being a tag team and ultimately struggling to win the championships, but DIY really picks up steam, and they put the titles on them. They have a fantastic run.
I mean, and those guys are going to be like best friends.
Yeah.
Probably forever. Like I don't see them ever splitting up ever again. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, me neither. I loved it. And then me and my brother bought tickets to NXT Chicago, and they fucking lost the titles, and it was sad. And then Gargano turned, Ciampa turned on Gargano.
Ciampa turned heel.
He threw him into the Titantron and beat the fuck out of him, and it was crazy. And then Ciampa somehow avoids Gargano from like or he avoids from fighting Gargano, wins the title. Gargano's trying to get at him, but Ciampa gets injured, gets the neck injury, and has to drop the title.
I mean, and he had been the champion for the better part of a year.
Yeah, and they were playing it off to where they were bleeding it out to where we were going to get Ciampa Gargano, and they were like playing out the storyline, and then this guy had to go on neck surgery, so we didn't get that.
Then they end up with the Adam Cole Gargano angle, which eventually leads to Adam Cole getting the title after three different matchups, which leads you into the War Games with Ciampa coming back and all that stuff. And then, yeah, and now here we are.
It's quite a good story if you've followed Gargano's and Ciampa's story and where they've come up to now and where they're at now. The Undisputed Era hasn't even been that long in NXT.
No, they haven't.
Let's see. So where was that going with that? Adam Cole and this guy, Tommaso Ciampa, put on a awesome match.
There was the one part in this match, like Ciampa just dominated the early part. And then when it went to the outside, it was Adam Cole did the German suplex into the table. I thought he was trying to launch him onto the table. And when Ciampa's spine hit the edge of the table, and he goes down, and he's just like sitting there like in shock kind of thing, and like holding his head, I legitimately thought that like that fucked up his back.
Dude, how many times did Cole focus on that part of the upper back / neck area to where he was hitting him with knees? He was just fucking him up in that area. We were like, hey, dude, calm down. This guy just came back from neck surgery.
I actually thought that it was more the back injury until Ciampa was holding his neck. I'm like, but his neck didn't hit anything. I'm like, oh, okay. Because his back, like the way his back hit the table, like, he went like straight back on the thing. Like it looked rough. But then, like, yeah, then you see that he was just selling that it was the kayfabe neck. But
I like how Ciampa gave it back to him though later on with the powerbomb.
Oh, yeah, nice ass powerbomb
on the table. But it was really good offense on both of them. I think the only thing that made the Finn Balor one more, not more better, but I liked it better because this one had a different,
the clean finish.
Yeah, the clean finish. I respect the clean finish. I like the entertainment aspect and what the story of this.
I don't care if it's a heel or a face. I don't care if I like the guy or not. If it's a clean finish, I usually will respect it a lot more than and depending on where the story goes. I like that it wasn't the style of a dirty finish that you were expecting. You know what I mean? Like you think that the Undisputed Era is going to be responsible for Ciampa losing.
And he almost is. They come out and they interfere.
When they all come
bit.
Out, you're like, oh, okay, here they're going to keep it on Cole. But he fights them all off. He hits Cole. He hits Roderick Strong a couple times. He gets Fish and O'Reilly. Like he gets them all.
And he's able to kick out after Adam Cole comes in and
hits him with his finisher a few times.
Yeah, hits him with his finisher a few times, and he just doesn't know what the hell's up. He doesn't know what to do.
And then even Ciampa hit his finisher, but the ref was down.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when Cole went for the belt. And then, yeah, Ciampa reverses something, and the belt's laying in the corner. And Ciampa sees it, and he's like, well, he was going to do it. I might as well.
Yeah, because the referee got taken out too.
Yeah.
Cole pushed
Ciampa
into the ref. I think he hit him with a low blow too or something like that.
So, yeah.
But he recovers though. He recovers and doesn't he hit his finisher?
Yeah, he hit the finisher and
the double arm DDT pilot.
Yeah, because he went for the pin, but there's no ref.
So then, is that when he goes for the belt?
That's when he saw the belt, and he was crawling for it, and Johnny G stopped him.
Yeah, Johnny Gargano grabs it, and he pretends like he's gonna give it to him, and Ciampa.
Well, he gave it to him.
he did give it to him, but Ciampa's like, "You're gonna give it to me? You're gonna give it to me?" And then Gargano pulls it away, and he's like, "What?" And then he clocks him with it.
And to me, it was such an oversell. I get the whole they've been going at going at it for half an hour, so they are going to be exhausted. But the way that Ciampa, like, falls back and he rolls over, it was a little too much selling for me. Mm-hmm. It would have been better if he just got hit and just fell back, and Adam Cole crawls and gets the pin, instead of him rolling all the way to Adam Cole.
But so you love The Rock after the stunner when he fucking flopped like a fish 3, 4, 5 times.
That I didn't really care for that.
What about Scott Hall's where he popped seven feet in the air? Boof.
That one I can buy because Scott Hall got stunned to hell.
Or to heaven.
I just feel like the finish was just a little hokey. Mm-hmm. I think it could have been a lot better. Especially with what these guys did throughout the entire match. It was fun. It was entertaining leading up to that point. A lot of good high spots, top rope finishers, outside action. Like, there's a lot going on in that match.
Yeah, and Gargano comes out with the DIY shirt. So that's what kind of made it like, what the
fuck?
Yeah,
and you start thinking, like, oh, he's going to help him out. Mm-hmm. And then Gargano just like slowly walks away while Cole and everyone celebrate in the ring.
Yeah. I hope you guys are listening, but if you guys haven't seen this, I would suggest you guys go back and watch this NXT TakeOver. Watch any of the NXT TakeOvers and listen to any of the NXT TakeOver reviews that I've done with Ryan or I've done myself. I have a couple of those up. Ryan, you have any last words on this pay-per-view? It was a fantastic pay-per-view, A+.
Once again, NXT just delivers. Like, I'd say it's another A to A+.
It's DiGiorno, just so you know.
Yeah. A couple low marks, I would say, with the women. They just weren't utilized right, or they just fell in the wrong spot.
You misogynistic prick.
You know, that's what I bring to the show.
What?
But I thought it was a great match. A lot of good talent in NXT, and I'm happy that they're getting the chance to shine. I can't wait to see what goes on leading into their big Tampa takeover in March or in April.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited too.
Mm-hmm.
I need to either watch the Ruthless Aggression era or catch up on NXT after this.
I watched the first Ruthless Aggression after TakeOver. It was fucking good.
Was it good? All right, cool. That's what I'm going to have to check out then. Thanks a lot for joining me, Ryan. Where can they find you at? On Twitter?
No Twitter. Instagram.
There you go. That's what it is.
Instagram. It's r.thempstarts.16. I still got to put up some posts for Bread by Ryan. That's a new one there. Facebook. And Facebook page, Bread by Ryan, if you're interested in seeing some good homemade bread.
It looks delicious. It looks good as fuck. He puts olives and, like, cheese in it.
Yeah, I'm working on a cornbread for this week. I got to put up some different kind of breads and stuff. Try to steer away from just doing the same basic stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm working on some fun things over here. And just getting ready for the big party on Wednesday. The big 03 for little Connor.
Nice. Thomas said happy birthday.
He'll get a present in the mail, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah, that's it, man.
All right, cool. I want to thank you, Ryan, for joining me. Do another breakdown or preview, whatever this is. I'm ripped. All right, Ryan.
See where we go to next.
Yeah. Yeah, they did a request. We'll see if we do it.
All right, sounds good.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like a Nitro or something. Or Raw. Old Raw.
All right, cool. Yeah.
This one was too good to pass up.
This was way too... Yeah, when we were trying to figure out if we wanted to do a chamber or what, and we thought, you know what? Yeah, we got to talk about this because this was too good to pass up on.
Yeah. And check out Full Heel Podcast on Twitter, iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, I think that's it. Yeah, all that stuff. At
Full Heel Podcast. Give them 5 stars.
Yeah, 5 stars on iTunes really helps out. I've seen it. A couple of people have really helped out, done it recently. And if you've done it, thank you. It really helps out the show. And we'll see you guys next time on the Full Heel Podcast.